On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground. And hello once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and I am so delighted for this current episode of On the Ground. And we're speaking with somebody who's really going to shine a light on an important event that took place April 3 through 6 of this year. And that is the Open-Ending Working Group on Aging. It was their 13th session, and they meet to discuss the protection of human rights of older persons. Now, this was established by the General Assembly, and what their purpose is looking at gaps in the rights of older adults. Cynthia Stewart is very well equipped to tell us all about it because she is at the forefront of championing a convention, and she'll explain what that means in a minute, on the human rights of older persons. She's the main representative to the United Nations on behalf of the IFA, International Federation on Aging. She's chair of NGO Committee on Aging New York. She has co-chaired the IDOP, International Day of Older Persons, and for 24 years, she has worked diligently to help people with sight issues and eventually became the senior vice president of Lighthouse International. So thank you so much for being with us today, Cynthia.
Thank you so much for having me, Adrienne.
All right, so we have to do some definitional things. We're talking about a particular event, the Open-Ended Working Group on Aging. So tell us a little bit about what that is before we get into a second definition, and I'll speak to you about that in a moment, what a convention is. But tell us about the Open-Ended Working Group.
I am going to back up to 1948, just a moment, because in 1948, 75 years ago, the United Nations passed the Universal Declaration on Human Rights. Very important document. However, since 1948, there have been a number of omissions recognized in that original document. One of them being age. Age was never mentioned as a determinant for discrimination in that document. Others, persons with disabilities. Others, women. Others, children. So since 1948, there have been a number of additional conventions, a fancy name for a legally binding document, to address the other populations, but so far, not yet the older population.
So I'm going to give you a chance to be on a soapbox for a minute. I was just researching a piece on conventions, and I discovered that the United States was all for, and in fact, in the forefront of a convention for the human rights of children. And yet, we're kind of silent with regard to the human rights of older persons. We kind of think we have it made. Now, this is true of many other Western countries. I don't single us out. And others, like Russia, China, are fairly much against it as opposed to being neutral. What do you see from your bird's eye view as to why there's this resistance with regard to a convention to the older rights to the rights of older persons when we didn't have it with the disabled or children?
Okay. Well, let me explain one other thing. There is very much a difference between not opposing or supporting a rights document for children or women and not then, because not yet ratify it. Once the United Nations passes, for example, a legally binding document on the protection of persons with disabilities, it goes back to each member state, of which there are 193 in the United Nations, for their ratification. Once that country ratifies it, then they are subject to the monitoring of their compliance with the document over the course of years. Now, what U.S. has not ratified a Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. They have not ratified the Convention to Eliminate Discrimination Against Women. However, they did not stand in the way of its passage. The reason I think sometimes the United States refuses to ratify, remember that goes through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and there are times when setting up another structure within the UN, not wanting to spend more money to do that, plus saying, well, here in the United States, we have a lot of laws that and regulations to protect older workers. Yes, we have age discrimination laws, we have certain laws in housing, etc., but they're not comprehensive to protect the rights of truly across the board of older persons.
Now, what is interesting to me is that this has continued now for quite a number of years, 20 years since the original Madrid Action Plan on Aging. And the entire intent of the open-ended working group is to look at the gaps. Are there gaps? So that any country cannot say, we don't have any gaps. And others can support those countries that do have gaps in filling those gaps. So right now, if you had to explain to somebody the 5, 6, 7 gaps, the things that you really think need to be addressed, whether it's the public policy of a government or through a convention. In all of your research, you've already mentioned older women. What have you found that really has to come to the fore and be rectified?
I'm going to answer that in a slightly different way, and it's because of the COVID pandemic. You know, when that horrific pandemic hit us, I was absolutely devastated, but I thought, oh my goodness, when the stories kept coming out about how discriminated against older persons were, that they were disposable, triaged in hospitals, withheld life-saving treatment, but rather younger people were given it. That kind of inherent ageism, where only age was the criteria being used, that to me said, oh, at the next open-ended working group, they will have seen the light, because over the past then 11 years, we've been discussing all of the various gaps that could occur, whether it be in violence and abuse, under social protection, access to justice, living with dignity, even planning for end-of-life care, all of those normative standards that they looked at each of those intervening years. I thought they finally are going to see the light. What happened? Total silence.
Now, and have you been attending all these 11 conferences, and have you seen any change in this latest one?
Yes, I have. Not all of the early years, I have to admit. I didn't come on board with UN work until 2012. So I wasn't there for probably the first or second as I learned my way. But basically everyone since. And what I have seen is, you know, it's a process. And when you're dealing with 193 member states, North-South issues, developed and developing countries, there's always a give and take. However, what I've seen is this past year, we really made an impact with raising the voice, raising the awareness for older persons and our rights. We were much more vocal during the meeting this past April. Absolutely. It's, I think, made a big difference. And We've summoned some resources through, for example, the Global Alliance for Rights of Older People to really help to create training materials to educate professionals and the population at the grassroots about what this really means.
Now, what do you expect? You're going to have another conference in 2024, another open-ended working group meeting, and it'll probably again be over a several-day period, probably again sometime in the spring at UN headquarters. I'll describe vividly the fact that I was there, and it was a thrill. This was the first time I was there, and I thank you for opening the door so that I could attend, and it really is quite thrilling. You do have days. Countries, representatives of countries, talking about aging, talking about what they do, even the ones that are against the convention, they're very much aware that they're having issues within their own countries, and they really discuss issues of aging in a different kind of very formal way. So, question, next year, what do you expect, and what will take place between April of this year and next year to make an even greater difference? How will you personally be working on this and others will be working on this?
Well, a very significant thing occurred not this year, but the year before. We're at the close of the open-ended working group. They called for a voluntary group called a core group to come together to begin to develop a strategy over the course of that year, coming back to this current 2023 meeting. And that core group, I was very pleased. The United States was present, as was Canada, Argentina. Actually, about 20 countries ended up signing on to a core group statement that was adopted by resolution at the close of the 2013 open-ended working group, 2023 open-ended working group. It is very exciting. It called for the chair, which is chaired by Ambassador Skef of Argentina, requests the chair to appoint two facilitators no later than May 1st. It has occurred, one from a developed country and one from a developing country, to facilitate a year-long work before next April to identify, meet with civil society, meet with UN groups, meet with the National Human Rights Institutes, regional, and our independent expert on human rights, and come up with a report back for the 2024 open-ended working group, which I believe will come back having well documented the gaps that have been made over the course of the last 10 years and call for an action of the beginning to develop a legally binding document to protect the human rights of older persons.
Well, this is something that's extremely exciting. You know, the world of change does move slowly, but when you think even about 10 years or 20 years, that's a blink of an eye in the world of human rights. And so we're getting there. Now, don't you guys go anywhere, because I want to come back with Cynthia Stewart, Dr. Cynthia Stewart, who is the main representative to the United Nations on behalf of the International Federation on Aging, chair of the NGO Committee on Aging. But she's also a fellow at the Gerontology Society of America and the New York Academy of Medicine. And I'm going to come back and ask her, in a very interesting way, I hope, how this affects you, the listener, whether you're an NGO, whether you're an individual, whether you're just an aging adult like me. By the way, when Cynthia said, I'd like to bring you back to 1948, I thought she was talking about my birthday, because that's when I started. That's the year of my birth. And the way I'm going to pose this to you, Cynthia, when we return, is this: a slogan of the Open-Ended Working Group on Aging Advocates was "Nothing about us without us." And so when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how, whether you're an organization, a nonprofit, an NGO, or an individual, you can do something about furthering this cause. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. And now, news you can use. Are you interested in high-quality online SDG educational programs at no cost and with a flexible schedule? If so, be part of the amazing educational transformation taking place through GNIC, Rutgers Preparatory School, in collaboration with the Innovation Academy. Innovation Academy provides NGOs with a virtual platform for online courses and programs from top schools and other organizations designed for every grade level by world-class educators. For the first time, NGOs have a virtual site to post and access educational materials to engage students and educators globally. Take advantage of this opportunity to expand your knowledge and get connected. Check out GNEC.NGO Innovation Academy. We're back with Dr. Cynthia Stewart. You have heard her before on several different of our podcasts for several different reasons, because she is so much in leadership in the field of aging, as really has so many parts. One of them you're going to hear about is her current work on the human rights of older women. But first, I'm going to ask a question, as I explained to you before the break, Cynthia, which is this. A slogan, and it's a very good slogan, arose out of the open-ended working group on aging advocates, and that was "Nothing About Us Without Us." And that really meant that people who are of age should be given a seat at the table when any legislation, conventions, treaties, public policies are made that impact them. But there's also another aspect to this. And that is, if you are in that group, if you are listening now at any age, and you're an NGO, a nonprofit, an individual, somebody who's just interested in their own aging, but you care about the human rights of older adults and older persons, what can you do to support this cause?
Well, the first thing anyone needs to do is educate oneself about this history, about what it means, and to think of it as a very much an intergenerational endeavor. Doesn't matter what age you are, really, because aging begins, as you articulately said, the time you're born.
Yeah.
But we are focused on the latter part of our lives with older persons' rights. But youth need to understand this is their future rights. And we want all babies born, children, teenagers, all the working years of life people to understand why aging with rights is so important. And I think that's a little something we've missed out on in this process of truly engaging the intergenerational aspect of it. But that's being worked on. So I would say educate oneself. You can do it through the Global Alliance for Rights of Older Persons website. You can do it through the NGO Committee on Aging website. We have a wonderful background piece on these very issues. But there are tools to help. It's very important, no matter where you live, if you're in a local community where you vote or you express your opinions, recognize you have a right to speak up and be heard. And so I think in the forthcoming year, we all need to continue to educate ourselves, speak out against ageism, and absolutely call it out when it happens. And the best thing you can do is own your own age and stop buying those nonsense cards that say you're over the hill
right
at 30 or 40 or 60 or 70.
And stop saying you look good for your age, because the implication there is you shouldn't be looking good. People who are old don't look, well, we look great.
That's right.
I, I will also remind those people who are listening that are from the U.S., who are U.S. citizens, we have a Senate Committee on Aging, and they are probably the loneliest guys in town, because I don't know anyone who writes them and says, hey, I'm your constituent. I would like you to be more aware of issues of aging. And I have been told by staffers that if a senator gets six missiles, six letters, they pay attention. That's how few people actually write to them about something that they think is important. So your influence really counts. And before I leave you, Cynthia, there's a lot of talk about the rights of older women and the plight of older women. And in fact, the NGO on Aging has a wonderful newsletter, one entire edition based on issues of older women. Really some fascinating articles. I wrote one article on what the definition even means, an older woman. But the fact is that you're doing some very, very deep and important work. Tell us about that before we leave you.
Well, it's it probably has been my, having spent my entire career in the field of aging, I'm also a feminist at heart, and probably just grew up at the right time and was part of, the 60s movement in the U.S., people like, sure, Betty Friedan or Gloria Steinem, who really taught us how we had been sold a bit of advertising hoopla about how we were supposed to look as a woman, and that we didn't, we are growing up in a very patriarchal society. And how do you change that? So that's really been my lifelong mission since very early adulthood. But I find it that not only ageism, but sexism is alive and well at the United Nations. And we are given lip service oftentimes to the fact that, oh, yes, older persons should be at the table. But are we often invited? Are we seen for the productivity we give, whether it be in the workplace or raising family, caring for family, caregivers for older relatives, and the cost that bears, and just the financial inability for older women to recover from a lifetime of inequalities and inequities is pretty profound. And so it has to start somewhere. So I like to raise a lot of noise, not only in the gerontological community, but also calling out sexism when I see it.
Fantastic. And you know, one of the things that I'm hoping is that the rights of older women will be appreciated in a convention, specifically with regard to access to the digital world. One of Absolutely. The places, here in the U.S., everybody looks as if they're on Zoom. But the truth is, even here, there are pockets where people, and particularly women, either do not have access to a computer or can't afford a computer, don't have the technology or the learning. And when you deal with rural areas in other countries, it's even worse. And this increases the eventual isolation, particularly of older women. So all of this I would consider to be a gap that might be discussed at the Open-Ended Working Group on Aging, but also a gap that we could consider in our own at-home public policies. So thank you so much for bringing all of this to light, Cynthia. It's really been a pleasure.
My pleasure.
And now, news you can use. Do you want to get the word out about what your organization is doing? Consider submitting information to the Civil Society Unit's weekly announcements for civil society representatives. The Weekly Announcements is a newsletter created by the Civil Society Unit, Department of Global Communications, United Nations, for civil society representatives just like you. Initiatives and activities of the civil society organizations are shared under the section titled Civil Society Corner. So be heard. Check out Civil Society's unit weekly announcement for civil society representatives. This is Adrian Berg saying goodbye for now from on the ground. See you soon.